News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Thousands of people across the country are preparing to get their Leaving Cert results about this time tomorrow. For some, tears of joy, for others, despair. But whether the news is good, bad or uncertain, what is the best way to deal with the onslaught of emotions that a milestone day like tomorrow will bring? Well, joining me now to talk about all of this is family psychotherapist and author of Home is Where the Start Is, Richard Hogan. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Okay, the first thing you want to say, and it's strange maybe, is... It's about stress for parents, not stress for the kids.
Yeah, that's it. And we've all been through it, Pat. It's the rite of passage in the Irish landscape, isn't it? Onto the next phase of life. We've all been there. And so we have to manage ourselves, or as parents, we have to manage our expectations of our children. And we also have to understand, Pat, this is such an important thing. The Leaving Cert isn't the be-all and end-all of life. There is life outside of this Leaving Cert. And you can get a great career and you can reach your full potential not having achieved a wonderful or amazing Leaving Cert.
There are many different routes to the end point.
It's so many routes. There's myriad options out there for children to get to the end destination. And sometimes, you know, most times, life doesn't go straight. Life's not a straight line. It's what Carl Jung calls the circumambulation of the self. It's an oscillating circle that goes backwards and up a bit and backwards and up a bit.
But the kids will see a straight line. I'll get so many points, I'll get into that course and I'll thrive and I'll get a job in PwC.
Exactly. Or I want to go to Trinity with all my friends. And I get that, of course. And as parents, we need to manage that expectation. Because, that you know, say 17, 18, 19-year-olds, very young, they can often have very linear ideas about their career path and how they're going to get there. And as we know, with a bit more experience, some of the most amazing stuff comes from the circuitous route.
Okay, now this is the day before.
Yes.
So how should the family as a unit be preparing for tomorrow's stress?
Exactly. And I would say, you know, today, excessive worry doesn't change the outcome of anything. Ritualistic thinking and excessive worry doesn't change the outcome of tomorrow. That's been decided. That's already there. The die has been cast, let's say, right? And so it's about accepting that, taking control of not having that control over it, and that will give you control today. And I'd say celebrate today. Try to enjoy today. Of course you're going to be apprehensive. Of course there's going to be anxiety and a little bit of nerves there and apprehension. That's absolutely normal. And I would say maybe go out, a bit of distraction, go out for a meal, just something today to take your mind off what's going to happen tomorrow. And also talking to your son or daughter about, you know, if it doesn't go exactly your way, what we'll do. And whatever these results are, they are not the definition of who you are as a person. They don't define you as being smart, clever or stupid. You can, there's loads of ways to a destination. Yeah. And so it's just about managing it.
There will be an adjustment in the points because of the COVID retraction.
Well, of predictive grades, Pat, were so destructive for the whole system. There's no doubt about it. And that's an external attribution of what will happen tomorrow. That's the system. And the system does need to have a bit of a hard stop. There's no doubt about it. They've been so inflated.
So, in other words, the same performance this year will get you fewer points than last year.
More than likely, I would imagine it possibly would.
So that's something that parents can be talking their kids through, although I'm sure teachers have anyway.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm saying about externally attributing it. It's like, you know, you have to talk tomorrow, whatever the points are, you have to understand that there's lots of factors in play. There's the system that was, you know, increased through COVID. And then there's also things about how you performed in the exam, the stress of that, and who corrected the exam. There's human error in there.
There's always the possibility of looking for a recheck of your results. So those possibilities are there when the bad news is looming.
Exactly.
The question of envy, though, of other people's results. Mm. You know that Johnny down the road didn't do a tap, and look what he got.
Comparison is the thief of joy. You know, that's what Roosevelt said. It is the thief of our human happiness. There's no doubt about it. And we compare as a species, and our parents compare us, siblings, and Pat is the intellectual one, and John is the sporty one. We do all of those things, which, you know, they're linear labeling of our children and of ourselves. We have to stay focused on ourselves. Say tomorrow, if you don't get what you want, you don't land on what you want, that's about, first of all, a really important thing is to express that disappointment. Of course it's disappointing, depending on the way you studied. Then I would reflect on my preparation always. When I haven't achieved things in my own life, I'd reflect on my preparation. Did I really put in a consistent, was I, you know, habitual in my habits there? Was I consistent studying? And then it's about strategizing, Pat. Not about looking what John got down two doors on, who's going to the SCI, whatever it is. It's about you and what you want out of life. It's an important thing to develop, because we can always look for deficits and what other people have, and we will always find deficits when we look at other people. There'll always be someone smarter, prettier, funnier, stronger. There'll always be that, right? Yeah. And so if we get a little bit more confident in ourselves and more self-directed, we get rid of that noise.
Mm. Now, parents might have even sometimes a couple of kids doing the Leaving Cert in the same year, or certainly maybe a year apart. Comparisons. Well, Joanne, she really worked hard.
She's academic.
As for you,
Sam, you lazy git.
Exactly. I mean, how do you talk to kids about their own performance during the year? You know, the person who's a couch potato, didn't bother anything, gamed on his devices all day long. And meantime, the sister is head down, nose in the books. And that may be a caricature, but it does seem to be more typical of girls than guys.
Well, I think girls are probably more organized at this age, and they're probably a little bit more forward thinking at this age, without generalizing too much, just with my experience working clinically and in schools. First of all, what I say to parents, which is really important, Pat, labels don't predict the future, they write them. And so when you say John's a lazy git and Joan is the academic one, they'll feed into those labels. So very important that we don't do that with our children, because they're constricting, you know, they're really...
But there will be a temptation for parents who have someone who didn't bother.
Yeah.
I told you so. Yeah. I warned you.
Yeah. I would stay out of that dynamic. There's no winner in I told you so, right? It's about, okay, let's have a look. Did you put the study in? Did you really want to go to college? Did you put the work in? And that's really important, because, you know, a lot of people don't land on their first Leaving Cert attempt. And this is the great thing about the Leaving Cert. You can do it a couple of times. You can do it as many times as you want. And sometimes you need a bad result in life. I did a very bad Junior Cert, if I'm being honest. Did a terrible Junior Cert. If you saw my Junior Cert results, you'd think, this guy, you know, is going nowhere. But it motivated me to go for my Leaving Cert and think, right, I'm going to take that and don't do that again. Bob Dylan won't help me to get my Leaving Cert results. I need to turn that off. I need to concentrate on, you know, the study here.
Sometimes you have to learn how to study. It's extraordinary, but when I went and became a lecturer in Bolton Street College of Technology, I really understood some of the things that I had ostensibly learned in college only when I had to teach them.
Exactly. And that's it. And that's what I see so... You know, why I'm so passionate about this topic is because so many young adults come through the Leaving Cert and they think they're stupid. They think they're not able. They think they're not as good as. They have all these really self-destructive labels about themselves. They have no idea about their potential. They have no idea about their intelligence. They mightn't have landed an exam, but the reality is they probably didn't know how to study. You know, they didn't know what was required from the exam. They didn't know how to answer questions properly. They didn't know the marking scheme. That's the reality, Pat. And then there's also somebody correcting that thing who's a human. And so there's all things in play, like the system that we talked about.
Well, you have a few safety nets, like the recheck we mentioned earlier, but also there will be round two offers.
Of course there will be.
I mean, we haven't got to the offers yet, but when they come... You know,
and exactly, and so when the first CA offer comes out, and when you get your points, first of all, there can be disappointment or elation, but you have to wait for the CAO first round offer, and then the second round offers. There's low, and then you have to really recalibrate. Let's say if you don't manage to hit it there, and strategize again, and think, how do I get to this destination? Let's say whatever it is, like law, whatever it is. How do I get to this destination?
There are PLCs. There are loads of legal apprenticeships. There's lots of ways.
There's so many ways around it. And when I'm talking to teenagers, or, you know, young adults at this, they want to do say law and Trinity. Don't get it and say, well, you can go to Cork with your points and you can come back through the master's program into Trinity like that. You know, you can do a doctorate later on. And so there may be
roadblocks along the way, like affordability. If I can't go to a college close to me, can my parents afford to fund me somewhere distant? And that's a
huge
issue.
There's no doubt about it. And then also the accommodation of those students going down to Cork or going, you know, wherever it is. That's another massive issue, of course.
So the message for the family really is what? No recriminations tomorrow?
No recrimination tomorrow. No, I told you so.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. The die has been cast. Let's see what happens with those results. And let's celebrate it as well. And, you know, let's celebrate it because it is a really difficult thing to do at 17 or 18.
It brings us to another topic. I warned you, you spend hours every day on that bloody phone.
Smartphones.
Smartphones, you know, and they could be gaming or they could be researching their physics or whatever on the smartphone. More likely gaming and Googling and all the rest for fun and pleasure. A move to ban smartphones from secondary schools.
Yeah, absolutely.
What say you?
I say it is so laudable, and I congratulate Minister Foley for doing this. It's a brave move, and I think it's very important because all the research, I mean, Pat, there's a tsunami of research out there showing that it impacts on grey matter, which is important, you know, stuff in the hippocampus that allows you to learn and to have memory. And I talk with teenagers every day, and I speak with Leaving Cert students every day, and they always tell me that smartphones, notifications, likes, infinite scrolling, these things are massively impacting their levels of concentration. And the Leaving Cert is one big two-year concentration exam, you know what I mean, and learning stuff off. And it's massively impacted. What place does a smartphone have sitting in front of a student in the class?
Absolutely none.
None. Absolutely.
I mean,
not.
In theory, they have access to laptops and tablets and all the rest
exactly.
to do the kind of academic work that is required.
But
now, that once you have something connected to the internet, you are connected. So,
yeah, you are. But what I would say, and I speak in schools all the time, I speak with principals all the time, and I know I was speaking in school yesterday. The staff are so positive about this initiative because students are getting up to go to the toilet all the time to go check their phone, check send a message to see what's going on, to send a like, whatever it is. It's so disruptive, Pat. And then there's all other aspects of pornography, there's aspects of cyberbullying, there's all the other aspects that are negative. Of course, smartphones aren't just a computer evil, they connect students sure. to each other as well, there's no doubt about it, and parents can keep an eye on their student heading to school and coming home from school.
Are we going to have something like pouches that each phone goes into when
even
the kids
though,
go in?
Even though, I have daughters in secondary school, even those, they bring in burner phones and these teenagers have ways around everything, yeah. right? And so what we need to do is have a systemic shift here, and they're thinking about it. This is disruptive. This is nowhere going to help them to reach the goal that they want to reach.
So we really need to bring the kids themselves on board, that the initiative almost is from the ground up rather than from the minister down.
It's the only way it's going to be effective, really. We can bring in this ban, but we need really good digital literacy with kids coming through primary school into secondary school to teach them this stuff is going to get in the way of your future. And in schools, it has no place. And so we're taking it out and get them to get buy-in from parents and from the students. But it does come from the government as a cultural thing that comes down. And it's so important. And I think it's so commendable. And we need it in our schools.
So Norma Foley's big challenge is to sell this.
Yes, to get buy-in.
I mean, the buy-in will come from the schools, certainly, but
schools
to get buy-in from the students.
And from parents. That's the huge thing.
Well, this is a bright day, then.
It is a very bright day, and I think it's great. But now we need to really go at the tech companies too, Pat. I mean, they're not outside this thing. They're right in there. We need to bring in really good, robust legislation to say to them, you know, those things, those recommender systems you're sending your kids, that information you're sending your kids, you've got to turn that stuff off.
You wonder whether we're compromised, though, because we've so many tech companies based here. And, you know, that we might be a little bit pusillanimous about challenging them.
We are, and they bring in so much revenue, and I think that's what stops us ultimately. But I think we need a little bit of teeth, and I think Ireland can lead the way with this.
Richard, thank you very much for joining us. That's Richard Hogan, family therapist and author of Home Is Where the Start Is.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.